Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Acts 2. I read one verse especially as text verse for the sermon, verse 4. Acts 2, verse 4, where we read a holy and infallible word of the Lord as follows. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The theme for the sermon is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 3 points of attention. The first point, filled. The second point, the Holy Spirit. And the third point, to speak. So the theme is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 3 points, filled, the Holy Spirit, and to speak. Congregation, does it ever happen that you count the days, children? Probably it will. When you are looking forward to something that is going to happen, when you are looking forward, for example, for vacation time, so you count the days, so many days to go to school, and then there's vacation. You have a desire in your heart, you wait for it. Or when you know your birthday is coming, you count the days and you wait. And sometimes you say, I cannot wait to see this happen. I cannot wait to experience this. A young couple can count the days till their wedding will be, the wedding day will come. We all know that experience probably, that we count the days, that we cannot wait, we would say, but we have to wait. There's something that we expect, that we are waiting for, that we are looking forward to. It's hard to wait, isn't it? We find it difficult to wait. And yeah, we read about that in the Word of God this morning. That the disciples had to wait. And it could be that we have the question, why was there a need to wait? It was clear that they had to wait because we read that in chapter 1 that the Lord had commanded them. And being assembled, chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. So they had to wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they had to wait. And we as people living in this modern time, we would be inclined to think, well, that's a waste of time. Why wait there in Jerusalem? Why not immediately after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, why not immediately receive the Holy Spirit so that they could go? Yeah, we would be inclined to say produce, be productive, that it would be fruits, that it would go and proclaim the gospel. There is a need for it, isn't it? So many souls in darkness and now they have to wait. There they sit together. Isn't that wasting time? And it's so hard. What is the use of it? There is a use. Can you see the use that the Lord made them to wait? Isn't it a thing that we see many times in Scripture? That the Lord is making people to wait. You probably know the examples, children. Where do we read about people that had to wait in Scripture in the Old Testament? What about Abraham? He had a promise of God that he would have a son with Sarah, his wife. Took a long time, didn't it? He had to wait so many years, so difficult. Can you imagine all the tears and all the nights that he couldn't sleep? Where is the fulfillment of the promise of God? What is the use of it? What was the use of Moses waiting that God would use him to deliver the people from Egypt? Waiting to such an extent that he probably lost the thought that he would be used for it. And when God came, he was not feeling ready or feeling fit. So long was the time to wait. What about Joseph in prison, waiting to be delivered? What a waste of time was it for this young boy Joseph to be in prison, isn't it? Was it a waste of time? Do you think it was? Or was there a use in it? He would say, if you can work, if you can produce, if you can make money, if there will be fruits, if you can develop yourself, make promotion, that's what we want, that's what we like. To wait? Just to sit there and wait? Is that useful? Can you see any use in it? What about David, who had a promise of God that he would be king? The king of Israel, he was anointed. And it didn't happen. The opposite happened. He thought he would lose his life one day by Saul. He had to flee, to leave everything, to live in caves, to be afraid, to be killed, betrayed by people instead of be served like a king. And wait. What is the use of this, of all that waiting in Scripture? And maybe you are in such a situation. And isn't it true that all the children of God are in such a situation? Are we not, if we know Christ and know grace, are we not waiting? Are we not waiting for that great day that we will see what we have believed? That we will see that righteousness that is in Christ, but also that it will be revealed in this world? That the earth will be filled by righteousness. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait so long. And why does it take so long? So what is the use of all that waiting? Well, if you think about David, was there ever a better king in Israel? And did it not have to do with the preparation that God gave him, waiting and suffering? And remember all the psalms that he was writing. So what a time of meditation there was, a time of reflecting on the word while he was waiting. Is God not fulfilling his promise? And will the enemy conquer me and be in triumph? Will I be brought down forever? And God bless this time, I'm sure, to make him humble enough to be a leader, to make him willing to serve so that he could be a king. What about Abram? All those years of waiting for a son. You know, David is called the man after the heart of God. And Abram, how is he called? His name is the father of all that believe. And all that many years, were they not blessed by the Lord? Those sleepless nights, Were they not blessed to work and strengthen faith in the heart of Abram? You say, in what way? What was the use to wait? Well, was there not that deep lesson for Abram that he couldn't do it? There was no way from his side. He tried. He took Hagar. It was not the fulfillment of the promise of God. Only God could do it. So God became God in his life. Isn't that what needs to happen to us? Isn't that what Scripture is teaching us? Isn't that how Scripture starts? In the beginning, God. That's what it's all about. And we always like to twist it, to change it. It's about man. And then we lose God. We do not experience God. So, what a useful time it was for Abram. God was teaching him faith, was working faith in his heart. And that fire of the test, of waiting all those years, was making that faith pure like gold, so that he was the father of all that believe. And that he believed against hope, that he still had hope in his heart. And so Joseph was prepared in prison to be the king of Egypt, to have the wisdom to lead a people, and so to save a whole people, the people, the family of his father, the people of the Jews. What a useful time it is to wait. So the apostles had to wait. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There they are, waiting, praying. And after this happened, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then they will speak. And wasn't there a useful time of meditation, reflecting, being aware that they couldn't do it? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It's clear that they are not doing that. It came from heaven, from God. That's why they had to wait. They had to wait for the Lord, that his time would be there. And so they had to pray, and they had to be aware that they couldn't do it. Yeah, they had that great task to fulfill, to proclaim the gospel. And now they sit here and they have to see, they have to be aware, I cannot do it. Faith has to do with waiting. Faith has to do with God showing us that he is God, and that we are man, and that all things come from him. So you say, well, then I just do nothing. Then I just wait. It might be that the Holy Spirit will come to my heart, come in my life. And so, yeah, it might be that it will not happen. But yeah, it's in the hand of the Lord. I cannot do anything. Well, we have at the same time to understand that to wait by faith is a high activity. They are together and they have expectation in the heart. It's like a mother waiting for her child. Is she sleeping? Usually not. No, she's looking if her child is coming. She might be standing there all the time, Looking through the window, if her child is not yet coming, it's an activity. She might walk out of the house and walk to the road and look along the road if her child is coming. It's activity. You understand? To wait for the Lord. Oh, they were all with one accord in one place. It's not that there was nothing that he did. No, they were there together. And they had that high activity in the heart. They were together in prayer. And the child of God understands that. That to wait for the Lord is such an activity. And sometimes, oh, you blame yourself, and you have to blame yourself, because that activity is not in your heart. It's not like your arms are reaching out for the Lord. It's not like you look through the window for His work, to see His work in your heart, in the hearts of your children. But you're just like asleep, like those five virgins in the parable of the Lord. Oh, what a shame that the church is many times like that. But oh, that we would have that activity in our hearts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So to be filled by the Holy Spirit is coming from heaven. It's the work of the Lord. And still it has to do with us. Because Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians, be filled by the Holy Spirit and be not drunk in wine. So if he is commanding that, it is showing that there, it has something to do with us. Not that we can do it ourselves. But still, it is commanded. Be filled. They're urged to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So it has to do with us. It has to do with that high activity in our hearts of waiting. Not that we make ourselves worthy by that activity of a heart that is crying out to the Lord, praying, like the earth that is dry and crying for rain. And that earth cannot make it rain. But still, there is that need shown and seen. And so it is in the hearts of the disciples. They wait. They pray. They are together, in one accord, in one place, and God is doing it. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It's remarkable to see that that word filled is used several times. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. You could also translate it, when the day of Pentecost was filled or fulfilled. So according to the plan of the counsel of the Lord, that day had come. So now the time was full. Like when Jesus was born in this world, then that was the fullness of time. So here is the fullness of time for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind. It's different from the sound in this world. That world, the sound in the world, is so empty. It has nothing in it. There's no content in it. It cannot fill your hearts. It cannot change your lives. But here is a mighty sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. So there again, the word filled, where they were sitting, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So you could say the feast of Pentecost the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the feast of fulfillment. Everything happens according to the counsel of the Lord, also according to the promises of God. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the fulfilling of what God had promised in the Old Testament. If you think about Isaiah, that he would pour out water on the dry ground, and so many promises in the Old Testament are prophesying about what happens here. So the word of God is fulfilled. The time is full. The house is filled. The hearts are filled. It's really clear what God and what the Holy Spirit are doing when they are working. So, what about us? What about you? Do you see that you need this work of the Spirit? That you need that filling work of the Spirit? Oh, that emptiness in our heart that we have by nature, that can never be filled by anything else than by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who is taking everything out of the Lord Jesus and giving it to you. Everything you need. Knowledge, understanding, the word, the gospel, conviction of your sin and of your guilt before God, things that you don't have by nature. No, we don't see it by nature, but the Holy Spirit is giving it to us. And then faith, that we see that what we need is in Christ, so that we will trust in Him and will surrender to Him and find forgiveness and find peace with God. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the only thing that is filling the heart. If you find that faith from the Word, by the Spirit, if that is in your heart, that is fulfilling, that is satisfying. Like we have been singing, that they will all be satisfied. This is the only real satisfaction in this world, when we know this work of the Spirit convincing us and showing the sufficiency of Christ and pouring out His love in our hearts. And then there's peace, a harmony in within. And all the circumstances of this world try to disturb it, but they cannot. Oh yeah, sometimes it is not experienced so strongly as other times, but it will never be taken away. It's like a deep, firm foundation in your soul. And that will be stronger and stronger. Oh, that the Spirit will continue to work in your heart, to fill you. And then that assurance will grow. God will never forsake me. Yeah. So this time of waiting that we have on earth, O child of God, is a time of preparation, a time to prepare you for eternity, a time to make you see more and more that God is God, and that He is working all things, and that we totally should rely on Him. Yeah, do you experience it? That God is continuing His work in your life. And you say, well, He started to work in my life. There should be a continuing of that work. It can never be that it is at one point. You have to see that there is a going forward in such a way that Christ is increasing and you are decreasing. Or there is a way that you go backward, that you are backsliding and giving in to the flesh. It's one of the two. So what's happening in your life? And where the Spirit is working, we will be filled we will be filled with the work of Christ. So our first thought is being filled. And waiting has really a purpose for that. The second thought is the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It looks like it is a power. It was a rushing mighty wind and it filled the house. But it's much more. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is more than a power. It's not like the wind that is a power and that's not a person, but the Holy Ghost is God. He is the eternal God. There has never been a time that the Holy Ghost was not there, the Holy Spirit was not there. And He will be there forever and ever. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is God like the Father and like the Son. He was involved in creation. We read in Genesis 1 that the Holy Ghost moved upon the face of the water. So there in creation the Holy Spirit was there. He is God. Now we might have the question, well, but so if the Holy Ghost was always there, He's God, that means He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. Like God is everywhere. Oh, what is happening with Pentecost? What is happening there? What is the difference between before Pentecost and after Pentecost? The Holy Ghost was already there. And what does it mean that we read in a certain verse that the Holy Spirit had not yet come? What is the meaning of Pentecost? Well, if you think about it, Pentecost happened at the 50th day after Passover. So Passover is a feast that the Jews remember that they were made free from Egypt. And then Pentecost is 50 days later. We know that the Lord Jesus was 40 days on earth and He ascended to heaven. Then after 10 days, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And in the Old Testament, the feast of Pentecost, so it's really busy in Jerusalem. You can see that people came from different countries, people that were Jews or converted to the Jewish religion came from different countries. The Jews were scattered because of captivities over different countries, and they came to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. And when you read in the books of Moses, you read that Pentecost is the feast of the first fruits. They sacrificed to the Lord the first fruits that the Lord gave, the first fruits of the harvest. So Pentecost is at the 50th day. It's interesting to know that at the 50th day after the people left Egypt, they received the law of God at Mount Sinai, also the 50th day. There God was revealing Himself, speaking, and giving them His written law. And then if you remember that it's written in the Old Testament in Jeremiah, that the Lord will give a time that the Holy Spirit will work in a very special way. And there's also a promise about Pentecost, Jeremiah 31. There you read in verse 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." That's a mighty promise about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's teaching us something about what Pentecost means. In this verse 34, in verse 33 it says, of Jeremiah 31, But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Lord will give the law into the hearts by the Holy Spirit, write it in their inward parts. And they will have a knowledge like they didn't have before. Okay, so now again, what is the meaning of Pentecost? Was there not the Holy Spirit before? Yes, there was. In creation already. And, yeah, we have seen the Holy Spirit is the one that is filling because of applying the work of the Lord Jesus to your heart. So filling the hearts by convincing of sin and forgiveness of sin in Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, that did happen in the Old Testament, didn't it? What about Abram? That father of all that believe, that man of faith. What about David, the man after the heart of God? Wasn't it the Holy Spirit working in his life to convince him about sin? And do we not read that Abram is justified by faith? Isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit applying the work of Christ? Do we not read in John 8 that Abram has rejoiced in the day of Christ? So, there was the Holy Spirit already, working repentance in hearts and conversion in hearts. So the people in the Old Testament that are saved by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. So what is the meaning of Pentecost? What is the difference when the Holy Spirit is poured out? The Holy Spirit did already work in saving people. And also, you could say, in the offices of the prophets, they were prophesying by the Holy Spirit. Or the kings, anointed with oil, did their office by the power, the preparation, preparing power of the Holy Spirit, making them fit for it. So what happens with Pentecost? Well, the theme of the sermon is the pouring, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So here we have an important thought about it. You could say, well, the Holy Spirit was there like drops of rain falling on people, prophets who would teach the people about God. And those that came to believe in salvation by faith alone, seeing the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah from far, before he was born. Yeah, it's like the rain, the drops of the Spirit falling upon them. But here, Pentecost is like a stream, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, an overwhelming power coming from heaven to work in this world, to save sinners, to apply the work of the Lord Jesus in such a way that it is much more general, clear, powerful, like Jeremiah is prophesying, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. There we have the heart of knowing God by faith, that you have that assurance of forgiveness of sins. And I will remember their sin no more. It was there in the Old Testament. But it's so much more overflowing. And in a full measure. Given by the Lord. So that, yeah, there is such a clear understanding now. And isn't that true? If you think about how the people in the Old Testament had to see in the shadows the promise of God about salvation, those sacrifices, those animals slaughtered, and that there might be a prophet. There were prophets. There was one, and there was one. And sometimes there was no voice of a prophet speaking. And they would go to the prophet to learn about it. And now God has given us a time that the Holy Spirit is so overflowing, given to us. We do have the Word. You probably have it in your house, several Bibles. Children, you have it in your bedroom. You can open it any time. You don't have to go to seek for Samuel that he would speak about God. It's right there. And oh, and pray for that light of the Spirit, that Spirit that is poured out. And then we have the commentaries, we have the proclamation, the preaching of the Word. Yeah. We have the internet that we can listen to several sermons anytime, probably, maybe even when we are working. Isn't it amazing what God has given? So much clarity, so much light about the way of salvation. And still it's true. The heart has to be changed. There has to be repentance. Still it is a miracle when it happens that we have that faith in our heart to know forgiveness of sin. But how privileged we are that we have all this teaching, that we have all this clear understanding of how God is saving sinners by Christ alone, by His work. What a mighty thing has God done in this world. And the gospel is proclaimed over the borders. That's what we see happening here in this spot. They speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What a miracle. So that Gentiles would be saved. And it happened. We see it. But let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 176, stanza 1 till 3. 176, stanza 1. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. 176, stanza 1 till 3. the Holy Spirit that we read about in the Word. It could be that there's someone here that is cast down. Might be that there's a child that thinks, well, I find it so hard to believe in God. You cannot see God. So how can I know if it is true? And how can I know if it's also for me? Maybe there's a young person here that has that question. Well, let us listen again for a while to what Jeremiah says. What is happening there? What is really happening at Pentecost? You could say it's the same work of God. Now, there's a unity in the covenant of God. There's a unity between the Old and New Testament. But there's a different administration. In the Old Testament, things were so much outward. Like the law was written on those stone tablets. But in the New Testament, there is an emphasis on how the Spirit is working inwardly. He did in the Old Testament. But it becomes so much more clear. And what a miracle when we experience that. This shall be the covenant. It's not a new covenant in a certain way that it is totally different, but it is a new administration of the covenant. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, right in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So to know the work of the Lord is to know that you belong to the Lord. To know that the Lord has accepted you, like the Catechism says, that you know to be bought by the blood of Christ. It also has to do that there is a new desire from the inside. So the law did come from the outside, but we also always have a resistance against things that are coming from the outside. And when people command us something, then we have the inclination to resist, because we don't want to be commanded. So yeah, if you want to guide and lead people, it's many times useful and wise if we suggest things in such a way that it become their own thoughts, and then they're willing to do it. They discovered it themselves. It comes from their own hearts. So now the Holy Spirit is working in the heart, writing the law of God in the heart. So there's something new. There is a desire from the inside. What a miracle. To do what God wants you to do. And we don't have that by nature. And the secret, the key of it is the love of Christ that the Holy Spirit has poured out in our hearts, that you see what Christ has done. So to know God is by the Word, to meditate upon what Jesus did, how He came on earth, how He suffered, how He paid for sin, and to admit that I sin so much against the Lord. And now to see that there is a full salvation in what He has done. And then my heart is melting. My heart is softened by the Spirit. It's inclined. The will of God is put inside. My will is inclined to His will, united to His will. And then I walk daily with the Lord. And maybe you say, well, is that possible for me? Could be that there is someone who is cast down here. I'm glad about it in a certain way. I'm glad about that you came to an end with your own strength, with your own possibilities. And I hope that it will be resulting in waiting for the Lord. I really hope that there is a parent that says, I don't know how to bring up my children. As long as you think you can do it, it might be that you do not expect the wisdom of God. And that there is a parent that is aware that he cannot change the heart of children, so that you will wait for the Lord. Well, still you will do what you have to do, of course. The word is clear about that. That we do what we can do to teach, to warn, to admonish. But that we feel, oh, that inclined heart, I cannot do it. So that we wait for the Lord. Do you understand that? That you stopped to do it yourself, to have it in your own hands. Well, you did everything you could do and had to do, but then still you saw it is not in my hands. And in your impossibility you waited for the Lord, that He from heaven would do. You cannot. And that there came that confidence in your heart that God is God. That He is doing things above our understanding. So yeah, are you fainting? There might be a young person who has been seeking and working and trying to improve life and you don't know how to do it. Maybe you gave up. You just gave into temptation of sin. Because the devil told you it's all useless. It's all useless. You cannot do it. So why not just do what you want to do? So listen to what the Lord is saying in His word in Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. It's the work of God, and He fainted not, He is not weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's the work of God. That you would have hope in Him. And see what happens here. When the Holy Ghost is poured out, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, do you speak about God? Maybe you say, I cannot, I don't know what to say. Well, wait for the Lord, and that's the highest activity. And that you would have the desire in your heart. That the Lord will give that fire upon you. Tongues like as of fire set upon each of them. Like a sign of what the Spirit is doing. Setting our tongues on fire. So that we will speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then there are no borders. Then there is no border of language or culture. But there is the power of the Spirit overcoming it. All of it. There's no border of shame. There's no border of fear. Do you see Peter there? Well, is that the same man that was denying the Lord because of fear? The same man. But now the Spirit filled his heart and he is speaking boldly, honestly, so that they are convinced about their sins. And that they cried out what they shall do. They were pricked in the hearts. And they were converted. And 3,000 baptized. It's the power of the Spirit. And nothing is impossible to God. Is there someone here that is discouraged? Wait for the Lord. And yeah, they start to speak. If the heart is full, you will speak. So we have to remember the words of Paul in Ephesians, that we have to be filled by the Spirit and not drunk, be drunk in wine. And in a certain way, if you look superficially, you could say there's kind of the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit is so exciting, you could say. So making you different in a certain way, and that's what can happen to a person that's drinking alcohol. But then there you could say the similarity is stopping already, because it's a totally different. It can appear for a moment to be having the same effect, But it's totally different. Where the Holy Spirit is filling the heart, that the words you speak are not nonsense. Like drunk people speak foolish words. But they are words full of wisdom. And now we see, was it not also by that waiting of those days that the Lord already prepared this sermon in the heart of Peter? And here the Holy Spirit is bringing all things in his mind and he's speaking such wise words. No, he was not drunk, like some mocked that they were drunk. Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. It's always true that the devil will try to stop the proclamation of the word to make it suspicious. But Peter is entering, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, and then he's speaking, showing that that is not true. And these are words full of wisdom. But the Holy Spirit is filling the heart. It's not like being drunk that you lose self-discipline and fall in sins and do things that you regret so much. No, it's the opposite. There the Holy Spirit is working self-discipline, wisdom, and the change of the heart that you will never regret. And there they start to speak. And it has such a power, such influence. When a drunk person is speaking, say, well, don't listen to it. It's just nonsense. It has no contents. But here is the word of God given by the Spirit. And it has such a power. It's convincing people. It's giving fruit. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And now the apostle says, be filled with the Spirit. Do you struggle about speaking about the Lord? Do you ever do it in your family? Tell what God has done to your soul. Show your children the way to be forgiven when they sin. Tell them that you need that grace. That you are a sinner like they are, sitting next to them. And, urging them to seek this forgiveness. Do you ever do it? And if you say, I don't, well, that you would be filled by the Spirit. That you would wait for the Lord in the highest activity, and then you will speak. When your heart is full, you have to speak. Oh, what a miracle here. It's the opposite of what happened to the tower of, to the people building the Tower of Babylon. They were scattered. Because they in their pride wanted to build a tower into heaven. So the fruit of pride is scattering the people. Why are there so many splits? Isn't it many times pride? Why are there so many fights? Isn't it jealousy and pride, comparing yourself all the time to others, thinking you're better than others? And there you go. People get separated. Where the Spirit works, there becomes a unity. Borders are gone. Borders of language. Borders of culture. Borders of shame. Borders of pride. And the Spirit is working in an overwhelming way. Oh, we need it so much today in the church, in our nation, in this world. And let us beseech the Lord that He will give us this Spirit of Pentecost. What a blessing it is. What a difference between the emptiness of the world and the fulfilling work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of children, young people, adults, in the hearts of sinners, to exalt Christ, to give Him the glory He's worthy to receive. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, save us by the power of the Spirit, applying the work of Christ. Save us from the emptiness in this world that is urging us to hurry, to produce, to be busy, to be entertaining ourselves. But teach us to wait. To wait for the Lord, that a mighty power from heaven will come and revive the church, revive our nation, revive Thy children. O Lord, we wait for Thee. We cannot do it. We came to an end with ourselves. It all works out wrong when we do it in our own wisdom, in our personal lives, in our families, in our church, in our denomination, in our nation. The wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. Oh, that we would receive that wisdom of the Spirit, Christ given to us for wisdom. Lord, we pray that Thou would bless the word, that Thou would forgive everything that was not according to Thy will, that Thou would apply it in the heart of a young person, boy, girl, child, and those that are older, an adult. Oh, in the evening of life, we need this fulfillment. Lord, help us. We thank Thee for Thy goodness, that Thou hast given everything for those that have nothing, than only guilt and debt before Thee, and that everything is to be received for free by faith, O work faith and repentance, and strengthen Thine own work. Lord, help us this afternoon in jail to preach to those that are locked up in prison, that they will receive the word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, so that they in their captivity will experience the freedom of Christ and the freedom of the Holy Spirit in the hearts. We pray, O Lord, help to speak, and that Thou would take care of the fruit. Be with us when we go home, protect us on the roads, and bring us together this night in Thy house. We pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.